It's interesting. Something happened to me this morning that doesn't happen often. I thank God when it does. But it's interesting how God, tends to work in my life because he knows me. How many know God knows you? All right. Have you kind of been amazed? Like, people know how to work you, but God knows how to kind of get you to a certain point. It's kind of like, he did it, right? One of the things that God knows about me is God knows I love to have a plan. I like to know like exactly where things are going and what's going to be said. And so, especially when it comes to Sunday, because I'm sorry, my sick thinking, I think the sun rises and sets on how I do on Sunday morning. That's what I'm working through. But sorry, ABCs and me. But it was interesting this morning, I'm getting ready and I felt like the Lord was saying, that's not, your plan is just going to dissolve today. That's not what I want you to do. And so as I started, and usually that comes with a, as well as a, there's an excitement. God's going to do something special today. And that's exactly what I bring to you this morning. It's very interesting how, you see, God tells me those things last minute because he knows that I would plan for the spontaneous otherwise. It's kind of like, I guess, in the way, right? So it's like those last minute moments, like, oh, wait, no. So, but it's interesting. Solomon says something very profound in Ecclesiastes. He says, for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. I like that. Because the reality is that has been something that we have all walked through, right? There are seasons that we walk through in our life, those moments in our life that God allows. There are moments that he says here, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, there's a time to pick up what's planted. There's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. You get the idea? And so there's all these seasons that God brings us through in our life. And I don't know about you, but I've come to realize that there are some seasons that stink. There are some seasons just kind of like, really? I don't like this season. But I noticed something in myself. I noticed that I don't tend to grow in the good seasons. It's in the good seasons that I'm building up my faith. I'm getting my batteries charged. But I don't grow in those seasons. I don't grow on the mountaintop. You know where I grow? I grow in the valley. I grow in the valley, and it's when I go through those seasons that are not really what I want to be going through, I get to draw off of the mountain. And it's in those times that I'm depleted of my strength, I'm depleted of myself, that my dependence becomes that much greater on God. Have you noticed in your own life that you become stronger in your faith when you have to depend on God more? And that's exactly what God does. He brings us through these seasons. And it's very important for us as individuals and as a body to recognize the season that God is bringing us through. Nobody wants to be wearing a t-shirt and bathing suit in the winter. Nobody wants to be wearing a snorkel in the summer, right? It's important to walk in the season, be aware of the season that you're in. And God put it on my heart in the beginning of the year or towards the end of last year that we were going to have the 21-day fast again. And today, actually it ended yesterday, 21 days of giving up something as an act of worship to God. And I've been encouraged by so many who have been a part of it in so many different ways, whether it was food or whether it was the internet or YouTube or Facebook or music or, I mean, the TV. I mean, everybody kind of, kids gave up homework. I mean, all kinds of things to... but it was awesome. This awesome display of worship. And I mentioned to you so many times that if we want something we've never had before, we've got to do something we've never done before. And when we come to the Lord in a time of fasting and we go to the Lord, what we're ultimately saying is, God, I want more of you. And I'm willing to give up something that I've depended upon, something I look to, something I solace myself with, something I comfort myself with, right? I'm looking to give that up for a season just to demonstrate to you how much more I want of you. And what ought to happen is that while we're fasting, we ought to feel a little bit weaker. It brings a weakness and an awareness of a missing something, and I need to take that missing and put it on him, on depending on God more. And God was doing some wonderful things. In the last 6-8 months, maybe a little bit more, but God has been stirring my spirit up about being more missional as a church, about being more focused on what's going on the outside. It's the season we're in. And it's been an exciting time. You know, God's growing us up. And we're learning the word and we're applying the word and we're strengthening our marriages and we're doing all the good, you know, we're doing good. We're not perfect, right? We'll never be there. But we're focusing on something. We've been doing a lot of good inreach and building one another up and challenging and encouraging, right? We've been doing a lot of good up stuff, right? A lot of worship stuff. We're focusing our hearts and attention on God. But I believe the season that God's bringing us in, Integrity Christian Fellowship, is a season of being more missional, of catching on to the fact that Christ came on a mission. And ultimately what he's called us to as his followers is to be people who also are on mission. Because the more and more we love Jesus, the more and more we draw close to God, the more and more we take on his heart. We become passionate about the things that he becomes passionate about. We start loving the things he loves. And Jesus loves people. Jesus went after broken people. Jesus went after hurt people. Jesus went after wounded people. And if we're catching on to Jesus and we're growing as his followers, it only makes sense that we would be catching the heart of God as well in this season of ministry. Today is Mission Sunday, and as we focus a little bit about mission, I'm kind of still in the clouds a little bit from last weekend hanging out with the teenagers. Felt so young. It was the first time I actually enjoyed, I don't want to say enjoyed, I shouldn't say that. It was the first time that I missed being in youth ministry, as I should say, right? Because I enjoyed it when I did it, but then I moved on. But I really enjoyed being with these teenagers. They challenged me and they fired me up. It was awesome, awesome time. It's good to get my own fire stirred up by them. They're challenging. We talked about this topic, this theme for the weekend. We left on Friday, came back on Monday. Who we left is different. The group that left is different than the group that came back. And it was a life-changing experience. We focused on the theme of win. Win. Because life likes to tell people that if you don't dress a certain way, act a certain way, have certain things, you know, have the look, so to speak, if you don't have those things, you're not a winner, you're a loser. And we've got people, whether it's teens who grow into adults and carry that same mindset, pursuing something that would say to everybody else, I win, I won, I'm a winner, I'm not a loser. And we talked about this topic of win. God created you to win. God created you not to be second best, second class, not to be a loser, but to be a winner. And all culture would point you in the direction of possibly temporary happiness, but not eternal fulfillment, purpose, value, the win that God created you for, designed you for. And so we talked about five things. We talked about the importance of preparing our hearts for a win. Because like I said about marriage, the truth is nobody wins by accident, right? Unless you're doing lotto or something like that, I don't know. But nobody, no runner gets to the line and wins by accident. The race for that winner, that runner, began long before he stepped up to the line with conditioning and preparation and diet and saying no to things. Everything, he prepared himself. She prepared himself. And we talked about the importance of preparing for a win. Preparing for the win that God has for you. And we looked at Genesis chapter 32. We talked about the story of Jacob. We saw how Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Jacob, who had been running from God and running from his brother, and Jacob, who had made an identity of getting what he wants by way of lying and deceiving people. That's what his name meant, Jacob the deceiver. And now we see Jacob, he comes to God in Genesis chapter 32. He's wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and he's praying, and the angel says to him, "Let me go, for day is about to break." And Jacob says what? "I'll not let go of you until you bless me. I'll not let go of you. I'm not stopping. I'm not settling. I want all that you have for me." That's the heart that's necessary. That's the preparation that is necessary if you and I want to win. This isn't a teenage message. This is a people message. Because how many want to win? We want to win. We want to honor God. We want to live in our purpose. And Jacob was like, he had the attitude. He's like, "I'm not letting go of you until you bless me." And the angel of the Lord says to him, "Tell me your name." And he says, "I'm Jacob." Ultimately, what he's doing is he's coming honest with God, and he's saying, "I'm a deceiver. I've lied. It's how I've gotten ahead in life." He comes to grips with where he's at. And God says to him, "No longer will you be called Jacob, but Israel, for you found favor with God." And we talked about the fact that if we want to win in life, if we want to succeed, we want to be all that God wants us to be, if we need to prepare our hearts for the win. And if we want to prepare our hearts for the win, there needs to be this commitment that says, "God, I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. I'm not settling for second best. Nobody's going to silence me. But God, here's where I'm at. I'm Jacob." It's commitment and transparency is what prepares the heart for a win. And we talked about defining the win. What is the win? The win is God's unique plan and purpose for your life. Nobody was born by accident. God ordained your birth. You're as unique as your fingerprints. God's reminder that nobody is the same. And God's plan and purpose for your life is that you would know your Savior, know your Creator, and walk in the full fulfillment of all that He has for you. And that kind of life is a blast. That kind of life is what gives you a sense of purpose and fulfillment. That's the win. Knowing what your individual win is. Paul said it this way, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul's like, "I'm going for the prize." We challenge them, and I challenge you, go for the prize. Don't settle for second best. Then we talked about one of the important things, if we want to win, we got to remove obstacles that get in our way of the win. There are things that are going to set us up. There are things that are going to hold us back. There are things that are going to distract us from the win. No runner can win the race if he's got all these different hurdles that trip him up and slow him down and keep her from what God wants them to be. And so we talked about the importance of identify what that thing is in your life. I said, everybody's got a thing. Every one of you here this morning, you've got something in your life that keeps tripping you up. Something that when you've done this has happened in your life, you say, "You know what? Today I'm going to sell out. Today I'm going to grow in my walk with God. Today I'm not going to play games." And then you started going, and then the attitude started, the distraction started coming. It's been the same kind of stuff that trips you up. And we talked about the importance of removing obstacles, identifying them, because here's the deal. Once you identify them, you can remove them. And so it's looking at your path, looking at you're seeing the finish line of your spiritual journey, and you're looking and saying, what has the history of my life shown me that slows me down along the way? Maybe it's a person in a relationship that's not good for you. We talked about the fact that not everything has to be bad. It just might be bad for you, right? And so there are some things, and we looked at where the writer of Hebrews says, you need to lay aside every weight and the sin that gets in our way. and run with endurance the race that's set before us. Well, there's a difference between the weights and the sin. The sin, we all know it's wrong. The weights, they're just things that slow you down. And as I said, they might not be bad things. It just might be bad for you. And so we talked about, what are those things? And one by one, they started identifying to the Lord what those things were. And they took those things and gave them back to God, cleared their path, and ran their race. What about you? What's in the way? What are some obstacles? What's that thing that you just keep tripping over? It's going to be different for everybody. Removing obstacles for a win. And then we talked about the importance of, you guys remember now? Teaming up for a win, right? God's designed us in such a way that we need each other. God has designed us in such a way that the body draws off of each other, grows from each other, is encouraged by another. Matter of fact, we depend on one another. And we looked at Paul's illustration of the body, and where he says, the eye can't say to the mouth, I have no, to the ear, I have no need of you. And the mouth can't say, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. Each one mutually depends upon one another. And when each one does that, the body is healthy. The body is then functioning the way God designed for it to function. And I said to him, guys, you're unique. God has created, let me tell you something, God's hand is on this youth group. I've been involved in youth ministry in leadership ways for over 25 years, but in a youth group for over 30 years, maybe more. There's something unique about this youth group. You know what's interesting? One of the things that drew people to Jesus was that the broken can come to him and find acceptance. The prostitutes didn't find condemnation from Jesus. The lepers found acceptance from Jesus. The tax collectors, the sinners, all the people that the religious community shunned, Jesus welcomed. Jesus accepted. Those who were put off by everybody else found comfort and acceptance in Jesus. And I'm not minimizing it one bit when I say that characteristic of Jesus is evident in this youth group. I have never seen a youth group more accepting, welcoming, without any prodding than I've seen in this youth group. When I see sixth graders come along, seniors, and be able to enjoy one another for where each other are at, that's amazing. And it's been incredible. And just to, so we talked about God's put you together as a team for such a time as this. And he's put you together for a team so that you might win, that you might win at life, that you might win at your calling, that you might win and find that plan and purpose that God has for your life. He's called you to be a winner, and he's given you a team so that you might take on the win. And then we talked about, lastly, that last night was so powerful. Such an incredible moment. God's presence came upon us in ways that was just unlike I have seen in a very, very, very long time. As they worshiped God, the tangible presence of the Lord. And those of you who know me, I'm not like, woo, out there. I'm telling you, God showed up. And these teens and these leaders were forever changed. I talked about the importance of, so we talked about preparing for a win, defining the win, removing obstacles for a win, teaming for the win, and then we talked about living out the win. Live this thing out. And we talked about David, how David, this young shepherd boy that nobody really saw much potential in, except God did. right? And God calls David from the sheep and brings him, and Samuel anoints him with oil, sets him aside for purposes of God, sets him aside for ministry, sets him aside to be God's ambassador, God's leader of his people. Nobody had a heart like David. And we see that he was anointed with oil. And so we talked about the importance of living out the win. I said, living out the win is living our lives on mission. And realizing that you weren't created just for yourself. You were created to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You were created to get outside of your own little world and reach out to the world around you. Every major move of God started with teens and young adults. Probably because they didn't have so much stuff, obstacles in their way. And they just had that simple kind of faith that believed God can do anything. And I think the reason that teens are oftentimes discouraged is because teens are oftentimes under-challenged. And I apologized to them on behalf of our church for under-challenging our teenagers. And I believe with all my heart that when God finds young men and young women and old men and old women who would be willing to be used by God regardless of the cost, we'll turn this world upside down for Jesus. We'll start scratching the reason for why God created us. And so I put the challenge out there, and I put it out there hard. I laid it out there in such a way that I didn't expect everybody to respond to. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't looking for everybody to respond to. But I challenged them. I said, you know what, if that's you, if you want to cross the line, if you want to step up and say, you know what, no more games. If you want to give it all for Jesus and say, you know what, I'm willing to cut loose whatever I got to cut loose. If that's you, I want you to come down. I want to anoint you with oil. I want to set you aside for kingdom purposes. I expected 5, 6, maybe 7 come up. The whole group, one after another, started coming up. It was amazing. The presence of God started just coming in such a powerful way. We started praying over them and anointing with oil, but I was so outnumbered. I couldn't pray for all of them. And so they started praying for each other. And they started weeping and praying and praying over one another. And the presence of God was so real. It was such a holy moment that they will forever be changed. I will be forever changed. It was incredible. You see, God's created us for a win, and God's created us to live out the win. And as we've gone through this fast, I've been so encouraged to hear so many of you, even our teenagers are fasting those 21 days, giving all up different things for as an act of worship to God. I know I challenged you 2 weeks ago to be, you know, who will pray? I thank you for your prayers. On their behalf, I thank you for their prayers because God heard them. I saw teens that have never knew Christ before come to Christ for the first time. They felt the presence of the God in ways that I fear some of you probably never even have yet. But I believe what started last week and is going to continue to trickle, because God's called us to be a church on mission. God's called us to be a church that gets outside the four walls of our building and meets needs. Because if Jesus was here, that's where he'd be pointing us to. Come in, get your batteries charged, get equipped, get filled, and go out and pour it all out. Come back empty, we'll fill it right back up again. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what we got designed for it to be. He's designed it so that we'd be a team. Living out the win. I thank God that God's raised up a leader in Pastor Vinny that has challenged these teens, has poured his heart out on his teens, has modeled for these teens what it means to be a Christ follower. I thank God for Pastor Tom who challenged them, the worship team, and raised up a worship team of youth that he's brought them from talented to anointed. There's a big difference between good and anointed. They were good and he made them better. But he worked more on their hearts than he did on their talent. And I'll tell you what, it poured out as they began to worship. And you're going to hear them in a little while. They began to worship God. And our closing song, after we had the time of anointing with oil, our last song lasted about 2.5 hours. As our teens and our leaders and every one of us were speechless in the presence of God, and we got on our knees and we just began worshiping the Lord. It was powerful. There's no way I can fully capture for you, I wish I could, all that took place. For those who know me, I'm not a sensationalizing person. But believe me when I tell you, I'm minimizing the impact of really what it was. Words fail. I'm going to ask if we play this video. Hopefully this video will give you a little bit of a snapshot of what took place on this youth retreat. And as they're gearing up, I want you to know that your investment in them, in prayer, and resource, and support is so valuable. It's so valuable. I want to challenge you. Anytime our youth group is doing something, get behind it. Get behind it with your prayer. Get behind it with your resources. Get behind it in any way. Because this is the place we want to charge their batteries so we could turn them loose, right? Take a look at this. And he's coming back. He's coming. It was powerful. It was powerful, one after another, saying, I've never felt the presence of God until now. The real, tangible, real presence of God. And I said to them, you know, you've been ruined. Because nothing will ever measure up. Nothing will ever satisfy like the presence of God in your life. I'm going to ask maybe a couple of them to come. I didn't plan who or what, but I'm going to ask if maybe one or two kind of share. It looks like somebody's up already, so come on up. And I'll just give a little heads up. We might go a little bit over this morning, but if you need to be somewhere, feel free to go. We don't want you to feel like we're not going to lock the doors until about 1 o'clock. No, but I want to release you if you do need to go, but I don't want to stifle what I feel like God's called us to do this morning.
This weekend, I went into it excited. I did. I was really looking forward to it. But, you know, you can't plan when God's just going to show up. That's something that you can't plan. And as I got there, every single day, every single morning and night just progressively got better and better. And God's presence was just more evident throughout every moment that we were there. And that Sunday night, you know, I'm in the worship team and we were playing. And I just, so many times the enemy tried to like just get in the way. You know, one of our drummers got sick. Matt's voice went out the morning of my guitar, like mid-song during when we were about to extend it, my guitar string snapped, and I was like, "Oh no, Matt, what are we gonna do?" Matt's like, "I think the enemy is trying to use this here. What do you really want this to stop us from worshiping him?" And that was just awesome, and it just really impacted me. And as I went home, I was able to apply a lot of things throughout the week that I learned, and I thought I want to share with you one of the most important things I think that I learned was, you know, to receive what God really has for you, you have to give it all. You really do. And you got to take off all the extra weight. You got to hurdle all the distractions in the way, pushing away people who are keeping you from your true purpose that God has from you. And that's really what I learned this weekend.
Hi. every time I think about the retreat, I get I get goosebumps, and it could be because I'm wearing a t-shirt in the middle of January. I don't really know. But it just, when I hear the song, the We Believe song, and it was our song through the weekend, and we had it scheduled. I think we were going to sing it maybe 3 times, but schedules don't mean anything to God. So we played it every single session, at least once, twice in one of them. And when, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, every single time there was another hand up, there was another person that was just worshiping to God. And at one point during the worship, we're literally every single person, we're all on our knees with both of our arms up, just praising God. And I open my eyes and I look and I don't see anybody because they're all hidden by the seats. And all I see is hands and all I hear is voices. And it was just, I can't explain, and no one is going to be able to explain the power in that moment. But just with all that we've been ministered to by two great pastors and that love us, and the entire church, you guys support us. And I'm not gonna cry this time like last time. We really mean it. You guys really are awesome, and I don't think you guys understand the impact that you have on us. So I just encourage you guys to please just keep praying for us, and we really look up to all of you. And during the retreat, I thought I had everything settled beautifully. I thought I had all my ducks in a row before I came. And of course, I had nothing in the row, and nothing was right. And I realized that I'm going up, and I'm worshiping, and I have my hands up, and I'm surrendering, and I'm saying, I surrender all to you. And then I go back to school, and I'm surrounding myself with friends that they're not even letting me surrender all of me. And I'm surrounding myself with that, and I'm surrounding myself with people that are nothing like these people, my family. And I never thought I could give up my friends and just not talk to them, because I love to go for the joke. That's me. I love to laugh. And they all laughed at me. And I went back to school and I told them, I was like, listen, guys, I'm not going to be the same. This isn't me. And they're like, oh, no, yeah, we noticed. You've been a little bit different. What, did God get to you? I was like, exactly what happened. Actually, I went on my retreat. And the second I said retreat, they're already laughing at me. And I was like, thanks for reaffirming my decision to limit my time with you guys. I mean, I used to spend every single time in between periods with them. I would stand in the circle with them, the big circle, the 631 wheelie boys. They all ride quads and get chased by cops. That's my friend group. That was my friend group. And I told them, and the leader of that group of friends, he said, you know, I respect it. He's like, and I, even though I don't agree with any of it, I really respect you for the choice that you made. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. They accepted it. So I come back the next period, and the first kid I see goes, hey, look. And it's the Christian kid. Didn't say it as nicely as that, but it gets the point across, whatever. And I just kept walking, and I literally made 8 loops around them before I went to class because I didn't want to stop there. And it was the best feeling I've ever felt, because when you finally feel what you were meant to feel, and you feel what God created you to be and the people that you were created to be with, nothing even compares. I don't even want to be with them. And so I just thank you for letting God just speak through you and to give us that message. I thank all of you guys for just being the most supportive family ever. And again, I thank all of you guys.
Oh, there's a lot of people. All right. Okay, so this is treat. It's pretty cool. But when, there was like a bunch of us at the gym practicing for the volleyball tournament that never happened because it got interrupted by 2.5 hours of worship. while we were practicing, this girl came in who we've never met, and she was extremely excited to see us. And she introduced herself, and her name was Edna. And, like, you could just tell, like she couldn't, like, she was hard to understand, and she was just, I don't know. I don't have words to describe her, but. So, I don't know, we just introduced ourselves, and she, like, came really close to me, a couple other of them. And she just kept telling us these stories about how like, she just had it really bad. Her dad died, her brother died, she was abused. She asked us who our best friends were, and we said that they were all our best friends. And she told us a story about her best friend who, like, wasn't a good best friend. And then she looked at us, and she smiled, and she said, "Jesus is my best friend." And I don't know, that was pretty cool. But, like it was talking to her, I felt like I was talking to, like, an angel. Like, I don't know if that's possible, but that's exactly how I felt. And we had to go to one of the other sessions, so we gave our goodbye hugs, but I knew that wasn't the last time I was seeing Edna. So when we came back to the gym, we were watching people play basketball, because we don't play basketball. And Edna came up to us. She's like, "Hey, you want to chill with us?" I was like, "Sure." So we went in, and we were chilling with Edna, and she's like, "Let's read the Bible." So we read Acts 16 with her, and then she was like, "Let's pray." And she was like, "At my church, we like to listen to worship music while we pray." So she put on worship music, and Emily prayed, and we were just sitting there in silence praying, and all of a sudden, you could hear Edna singing, and it was just awesome. Like, I don't know, and just thinking of Edna, like, brings me joy, and she makes me, like, really happy, and she really impacted my life.
Wow. I got a lot to say. I'm going to not speak for 20 minutes like I did last time. You know, a week before the retreat, I was not in a good place. I said to Vanessa, "We need to talk." And we talked over, and I just was so empty, so broken. I just needed to be filled. So we talked, and I realized what I was doing wrong, and I was trying to fix it, and I really didn't know what to come on the retreat with. I really had no expectation. I just wanted something. So I was looking forward to it all week, and we got there, and as soon as I walked in there, something happened inside. I realized that I was away from everything in school, and that first session and the worship, I can't explain it. God was so clearly in front of us, I guess. And for me, I think one of the biggest things was not exactly on the retreat, it was when I came home. When I walked into school, I was so nervous. I was shaking on the bus. I didn't know what to do. I just prayed, "God, just help me to do this." And I walked in, and I see all my friends, and they're all, hey. I'm like, "Hey, all right, I'm just trying to get to class because I know I'm going to," I just didn't know what to expect from them. So I had Ryan, he just left, I think. I had Ryan walk with me. He was the one who actually gave his life to Christ on the trip. And I had Matt, I had Josh, and we're just kind of walking in school. I had Matt come up to me various times and just kind of pat me on the back and over throughout the week and just say, "God loves you. God truly loves you." And I was praying for a while for God to bring somebody my age that could run alongside me and has the same interests. And he's not here right now. He's on a retreat. But God gave me somebody. And I prayed for so long for this person. Now that I have him, I can't thank him enough. Because accountability and a team, that's all I could ask for. God is so great. And that's the only explanation I could give.
And it's not. I realize it's my turn. Oh, great. So I went on the retreat, and I knew it was going to be pretty awesome because I've been on these type of retreats before, and I was excited. But, of course, being on a retreat, you stay up late, which affected my ability to perceive things. You know, I was really, really happy one minute and then really, really upset the next. So that made things a little bit hard. I think it was a challenge thrown my way, but thanks to these people, I managed to get around it. So at one point, Pastor Tony's preaching a sermon, or he's giving us the message, and we're talking about the body of Christ. And he said, "I know sometimes a lot of you feel alone. And if you're feeling like that, I'm going to ask you to do something really courageous. I'm going to ask you to stand up when I tell you to. And if you're not standing up, I want you to go and pray for someone who is." So I'm like, well, I had been feeling a bit like a background person. So I was like, you know what? I'll stand. Watch this. I'm going to be the only one standing up. So I stood up, and not only was I not the only one standing, but within the first 2 seconds of me being standing up, I had 7 hands on my back. 7, at least. And Lindsay comes up and gives me this huge bear hug, which I really needed, by the way. And I was overwhelmed. I don't have any other words for it. I was overwhelmed. It was amazing. I never felt so, like, accepted. Nobody had ever come up to me that quickly. Because normally, you know, I just say, oh, I'm not having a good day. And people are like, oh, that's okay. That's good. You'll get over it. That's not what happened. And then after that, again, me being up, down, up, down, up, down the whole time, I came into this one worship session. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I want to go home. I'm tired. I don't feel good. I'm upset. I don't want to be here. And so someone had spoken to me, a wise man I know, and he told me, just be yourself up there. Just let God take control of you, and everything will be fine. So I'm like, yeah, right. Like, that's going to help. So I start singing, and the most amazing thing happened. I came in very weighted down. I was very upset about something silly. And I came in very heavy. And when I was singing, I felt like I could float off the floor. It could be because I was surrounded by other believers, but God was just so close. That was probably one of the closest times, you know, one of the best times I've ever been worshiping. It was amazing.
In a time of our lives as teenagers, where there's so much questioning and wondering, what an anthem we believe. It's when you know and you're knower that God has you. I'm so proud of you guys. What an awesome journey we have ahead of us. Amen. I want to challenge you, parents. What started needs to continue. And parents, you need to carry it. Help your teens be here. Help them to be here. Don't let them miss youth group. Nothing will fizzle, make it fizzle quicker than if you as their parents are not helping them to prioritize what they know to be the right thing to do. And so this is, and I know this is Pastor Vinny's vision, this is a team effort. We are co-laboring with you as parents in raising up mighty men and mighty women of God in this generation. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this service. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would seal that which you've placed in our hearts. Lord, that the seeds that have been planted would sprout and bring forth much fruit. Lord, here in our church, here in our community, Lord, in Mexico, and in every area that you've called for us to impact, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, Lord, may we as Integrity Christian Fellowship see ourselves as people on mission, set aside, anointed, and appointed to bear and extend the love of Christ everywhere we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.